Yeah, come on in. Those who are near the door might want to move a little away from the door so that more people who come through the door will have a place to sit. And you can take advantage of this couch, you know, so that people can sit there if you want. If you need more space. This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, 10th chapter, text 14. Sarvametadritam manye, yanmam vadasikeshava, nahi te bhagavan vyaktim, vidurdeva nadanava. Sarvametadritam manye,
sarvametadritam manye,
yanmam padasikeshava,
yanmam padasikeshava,
nahite bhagavan vyaktim,
nahite bhagavan vyaktim,
vidurdeva nadanava,
vidurdeva nadanava.
Sarvametadritam manye,
sarvametadritam manye,
yanmam padasikeshava,
yanmam padasikeshava,
nahite bhagavan vyaktim,
nahite bhagavan vyaktim,
vidurdeva nadanava,
vidurdeva nadanava.
Anyone else?
Sarvametadritam manye.
Sarvametadritam manye,
yanmam padasikeshava,
yanmam padasikeshava,
nahite bhagavan vyaktim,
nahite bhagavan vyaktim,
vidur deva nadanava,
vidur deva nadanava. Sarvam,
sarvam,
all, etad,
etad,
this,
this,
ritam,
ritam,
truth,
truth.
Manye,
manye,
I accept.
I accept.
Yet,
yet,
which,
mam,
unto me,
unto me.
Vadasi,
vadasi,
you tell,
you tell.
Keshava,
Keshava,
O Krishna,
O Krishna.
Na,
na,
never.
Yeah.
He,
he,
certainly,
certainly.
Te, your,
yeah.
Bhagavan,
Bhagavan,
O Personality of Godhead,
O Personality of Godhead,
Vyaktim,
Vyaktim,
revelation,
revelation,
Viduhu,
Viduhu,
can know,
can know.
Deva,
Deva,
the demigods,
the demigods.
Na,
na,
nor,
nor.
Dalva,
Dalva,
the demons,
the demons.
Why do the children want to be here? You're serious, right? Just joking. And having them in the next room with the door open is useless. You might want to move up a little bit, those who are here. Ladies are fine where you are, and that can move up a little bit, that creates more space. Well, ladies, where you are is good. Yeah, that's maybe good. Give it a try. Yeah, that's good. Take advantage. We're paying for the real estate, we might as well use it. Yeah, another one or two minutes sit there for you. There's just silence. O Krishna, I totally accept as truth all that you have told me. Neither the demigods nor the demons, O Lord, can understand your personality. Purport. Arjuna herein confirms that persons of faithless and demonic nature cannot understand Krishna. He is not known even by the demigods. So what to speak of the so-called scholars of this modern world? By the grace of the Supreme Lord, Arjuna has understood that the supreme truth is Krishna, and that he is the perfect one. One should therefore follow the path of Arjuna. He received the authority of Bhagavad Gita. As described in the fourth chapter, the parampara system of disciplic succession for the understanding of Bhagavad Gita was lost, and therefore Krishna re-established that disciplic succession with Arjuna because he considered Arjuna his intimate friend and a great devotee. Therefore, as stated in our introduction to Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita should be understood in the parampara system. When the parampara system was lost, Arjuna was selected to rejuvenate it. The acceptance by Arjuna of all that Krishna says should be emulated. Then we can understand the essence of Bhagavad Gita, and then only can we understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agyadati Nirantasya Dhananjana Chakshuram Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Tadamayam Tadati Svadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Tathapada Kamalam Shri Guru Narishamansa Shri Rupam Bhagavatam Sahagana Gaganatam Itam Sam Sajivam Sadvaitam Svadhutam Parijana Sehitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Rama Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanditamsa E Krishna Karuna Sindho Dhinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Tata Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindaveshwari Krishna Bhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rupyascha Prakasindho Vyayacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Sarva Meta Dutam Manye Yanmam Vadasi Keshava Nahi Te Bhagavan Vyaktim Vidur Deva Nadanava. We should note, Srila Prabhupada says, the way in which Arjuna accepts the message of Bhagavad Gita. Sarva Meta Dutam Manye. I accept everything that you've said. Sarva. Not picky-choosy. There are commentators, or even politicians who are famed as great devotees of Bhagavad Gita, and they accept those portions that they accept. And other portions they leave aside. This is not the way to understand Bhagavad Gita. It's not, I like this part, I don't like that part. This part I agree with, this part I don't agree with. Then one won't get the benefit of Bhagavad Gita. And one becomes his own authority. I'm the authority, and any book that says something that I agree with, I accept that portion. That's not the way of understanding. It's like accepting a law book. This part of the law I like. This part of the law I don't like. Or in science, this part of the data I accept. This part of the data doesn't agree with my understanding. So I reject this data, I accept that data. That's not the way to understand. I have to accept all the data. I have to accept the entire law book. So, Sarvam, Arjuna says, I accept everything that you've said. Not the parts I like. Where you say that the soul is eternal, I accept that. Where you say to kill Bhishma and Drona, I don't accept that. No. Sarvam eta bhutam mani. I accept it all to be true. Krishna is the absolute truth, and what he says is true. This is the way of understanding Bhagavad Gita. Not picking and choosing. Sarva meta vritam manye yanmam bhavasi kesha. Because this consists of the words of the personality of Godhead. When an ordinary friend speaks, we can take it or leave it. We can say, I don't accept anything you say, or I agree with you on some points, I disagree with you on other points, as we like. But when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is speaking, then we're advised, accept it all. Sarva meta bhutam manye, because he knows everything. And our knowledge is imperfect. If we make our knowledge the standard, and we accept whatever Krishna says that agrees with us, then we're bringing everything down to the level of our imperfect understanding. So sarva meta bhutam manye, this is called descending knowledge. The other process is ascending knowledge, that with my own senses and mind, I'll try to figure out the truth. But the descending process is, the truth will come down to me. It's like my father says, this is a watch. So I accept, this is a watch. I don't have to figure out, is this a watch, or is something else, or... No. The information I get, I accept, and done. Descending knowledge. So the personality of Godhead is speaking confidentially. He's spoken about the nature of this material world. He's spoken about his energies, material and spiritual. So many topics he's dealt with. Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga. And he's just finished telling Arjuna, now I'm the source of everything. Aham sarvasya purva mata sarvam pravartate iti bhatva vajante maam bhuta bhavasima. I'm the source of everything. And crossing it, everything comes from me. There's a word for that. We were talking about synecdoche this morning. There's another word. This kind of figure of speech, where you say something forwards and backwards. I'm the authority here. The authority here is me. Saying the same thing twice in the opposite way. Just to make it more...
Active and passive voice.
No. That's, there's a specific word. It means cross, but I've forgotten the term. You definitely will know it's a complex, it's a technical, rhetorical term. I've forgotten it. But Krishna says it backwards and forwards. I'm the source of everything. Everything comes from me. So one who knows this, itimatva bhajante ma, those who know this, engage in devotional service. Buddha bhava samambita. In transcendental ecstasy. And Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The knowledge of Krishna enlivens the devotee. The more he hears about Krishna, the more he wants to hear. And also Arjuna said, what is that? Nasti me mritam.
By the way, chiasmus. Chiasmus?
Chiasmus, yes. Chiasmus, right? Yeah, it's just coming. This chapter.
10:18.
Yeah. Bhuya kataya triptirhi shinvito nasti mevritam. I never get tired of hearing this nectar about you. Please tell me more. Bhuya kataya triptirhi. I've already heard 9 chapters. So it's not that, all right, 9 chapters, bus. But I don't get tired of ever of hearing about you. In the Naimisharanya, the sages also said the same thing. Vayam tuna vichripyama uttamasloka vikram. There's trinvitam rasagyana svadhisvadhapadam. Those who know what this nectar is never get tired of hearing about it. That's trinvitam rasagyana. Swadhu Swadhu Pade. At every step they enjoy Padipadam Purnamrita Shravana, more nectar. Of Sarvam, Etavritam Manye, Yang Mam Vadasikesha. Naite Bhagavan Vyaktim Vidur Devana Dharma. Even the demigods don't understand Krishna. Bhuyanti Yatsurya. Even the demigods become bewildered. Name vidu surgana pravamna maharsha. Elsewhere, Arjuna says, name vidu surgana, even the demigod, because I came before they did. Just like your great 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 grandfather. So what do you know? Only what you hear. Your father says your great-grandfather was like this. He heard from his grandfather. And you can understand something. Well, Krishna's there before the cosmic manifestation is there even. Sa ekshita sa srijita. He glanced over the cosmic manifestation and creation took place. Well, he was here even before the creation of the world. Who will understand? Nate vidu suragana. Even the demigods don't understand. And then what to speak of the demons? Demons understand, don't understand at all. Mudho yam na bijana ti ma vebya paramani. They're bewildered about Krishna. Aham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samadhi. Krishna covers himself by the yogamaya so that the fools and demons think that he's an ordinary person. Abhijanati Mamita Manusha. They won't understand Krishna. Or they'll think of Krishna as in their own way. And Krishna is a great hero, Krishna is a mythology, Krishna is a symbol for this, Krishna is a symbol for that. Krishna is a glorified human being, Krishna is representation of the higher truth. Although Krishna says, Mata Padataram Nanyar Kinchidasi Taranjai, there's nothing higher than me. And still the Mayavadis want to say, no, Krishna is representative of some higher truth. It means they accept something, but not everything. Mata Padataram Nanyar. Aham Sarvasya Purva. I'm the origin of everything. Everything comes from me. Even the Brahmajyoti comes from me. So, who understands Krishna? Svayam eva atmanatmanam etatvam purushottam. My dear Purushottam, only you understand yourself. Svayam eva atmanatmanam. The demons certainly don't understand. And even the devotees can't fully understand the glories of the personality of Godhead. They'll understand to a certain extent. The demigods will understand to a certain extent. Even they get bewildered. Indra got bewildered. Oh, Krishna's a talkative boy and he's stopped my yajna, nonsense rascal. And these fools in Vrindavan were all listening to him. They're ruining my sacrifice. Even Brahma, let me have some fun and steal these calves and cows. Then Krishna bewildered him also. And Brahma, with his great mystic power, his mystic power became like, what is that? Snow during the daytime? Snow during the daytime. No, snow at night. Right? Fire during the daytime or snow at night. Something like that. It means potency that doesn't impress. It doesn't impress. Brahma is so powerful that by his mystic power he can create the whole universe. But still, his mystic power became nothing in front of Krishna. So, and he's the chief of the demigods, Lord Brahma. Even Lord Shiva can't fully understand Krishna. Uyantiya Surya. A glowworm during the day. Glowworm means these fireflies. And what
snow
at night?
Snow
at night, right? Snow at night doesn't shine, and the glowworm during the day. Unexpressive. So Swayam, the only person who can understand Krishna is Krishna. Svayam eva atmanatmanam. Only you can understand yourself by your own potencies. Svayam eva atmanatmanam. Beta tvam purushottam. Bhuta pavana bhutesha deva deva jaya. In this way, Arjuna is glorifying. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, it's like even Krishna doesn't fully understand himself. He extends his knowledge potency, his unlimited potency of knowledge to understand himself, but then he's expanded. He further expands his existence so that now the knowledge potency has to expand. Then again, his existence potency expands, then again knowledge potency expands. So he never reaches the limit of, although Arjuna says, you're the only person who understands you, even Krishna doesn't fully understand himself. Or in regard to the pleasure potency, it says that the pleasure potency of Krishna is unlimited. As soon as he tries to understand it, it's expanded further. Again, he tries to understand again. further expands. Svayam eva atmanad bhava. So even though he's the only person who understands, even Krishna doesn't understand. And what to speak of doctor such and such, PhD, goes to the university, writes a thesis, and now he's understood Krishna. He understands nothing. A big fool on thinking that by an academic education he'll understand Krishna. But the devotee can understand, at least to some extent. That's Te Shame Pan Kram Partamaham Gan Jam Tamaha. Na Shamyatma Pavasto Gan Deepain Pas. Vachitama Kata Prana Bodhiyanta Pulaspana Kathiyanta Struman Vijam Shanti. Te Sham Sadhik Yutayam Vidam Priti Guru. Tadami Bhuti Yoga Utam Ena Mahmo Piyatite. Krishna grants knowledge to the devotee by which to understand him, by which to understand his form, his qualities, his pastimes. To the extent that Krishna reveals himself, the devotee can understand. Premanjana Shurita Bhakti Vilochanina Santa Sadaiva Hridyeshu Vilokyanti Yam Shama Sundra Pachantri Guna Svudhupa Govinda Madhi Guru Shantamani Vajami. The Krishna will be revealed to the devotees, not to the karmis, not to the gyanis, and certainly not to the demons. They'll get their own. They'll have to be satisfied with their own foolishness. They'll write some foolish paper, and then they'll have a meeting and read the paper, and they'll applaud one another. Yes, very good, very good. And that will be their satisfaction. Svavid Varahostra Karai Samstuta Purusha Pashu. One animal will be glorified by the other animals. And they'll think, yes, Dr. Animal has written a very good paper. The other animals have voted it to be paper of the year. But they'll not understand Krishna. So here, Arjuna is understanding Krishna by the grace of Krishna. And his method of understanding is simply to accept. Sarvam etavritam manye yamam bodhisi keshava vadira. Keshav, whatever you've told me, I accept, that's all. I accept. Vistarena no yogam. Still, I'd like to understand more. Please explain how you exist throughout this cosmic manifestation. Please tell me more. Please tell me more. But at the end of the chapter, Arjuna, Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, Atava bahunaitena kim gyatena devarjuna. Vishtabhyahamidam kritsnam. Ekam shenas tutorpita. My dear Arjuna, I told you something. Tu deshita prakta. I've given you some idea. But it's only an idea. What more can I say? Yatava bhavanayatena. Kim gyatena tuvajam. What more can I say? Vishtabhyahamidam kritsnam. I uphold this entire material world by one fragment of my potency. Ekangshen, or by one portion of myself. The portion of the portion of the portion of the Mahavishnu. By one portion, be it then from Mahavishnu or Garbhanakshesh. By a portion of the plenary portion, I expand the whole material world. How much will you understand? But something I'll say. That's all. All right, I'm going to stop here and see what kind of questions you might have.
Well, that's is the meaning of Sarvadharman Parityaj and what is the procedure of Maam Ekam Sharanam Raju?
What is the meaning of Sarvadharman Parityaj and what is the meaning, what is the method of Maam Ekam Sharanam Raju? Sarvadharman, there's so much so-called dharma. Of course, there's materialistic duties in terms of country, in terms of family, in terms of society. Then there's so many duties in terms of varnashram, in terms of so many things. But Krishna says you can give up all these other duties for this one point. Maam Ekam Sharanam Raju, just surrender to me. That's the essence of all duty. There's so many duties, but finally all these duties are meant for realizing Krishna. All the vague duties. So if we follow all of the duties perfectly, dharma svinishchita pumsam, then vishvakshena katasuyat. We follow all the duties very perfectly, but we don't get an eagerness for hearing about Krishna, then we've wasted our time. So the whole point is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Every one of us is a servant of Krishna. We should surrender. And what is that surrender? Anukul yasya sankalpa pratikul yasya varjana.
Whatever is favorable for the service of Krishna, we should accept. And just like chanting Hare Krishna is favorable, reading books like Bhagavad Gita is favorable, so many things are favorable. And intoxication, meat eating, illicit sex, gambling are unfavorable. So many other things are also unfavorable. So whatever will help us in Krishna consciousness, we should accept. And what's unfavorable, reject. Vishvashyatiti, what's that? Rakshasyatiti, Vishvashya. To have full confidence that Krishna will protect me. To think that Krishna is the maintainer. In this way, Sharma, that he's described.
Atminikshepa karpanye shadvidhashram. Prabhupada summarizes, according to the devotional process, one should simply accept such religious principles that will lead ultimately to devotional service of the Lord. One may perform a particular occupational duty according to his position in the social order. But if by executing his duty one does not come to the point of Krishna consciousness, all his activities are in vain. Anything that does not lead to the perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness should be avoided. Television being a good example. One should be confident that in all circumstances Krishna will protect him from all difficulties. There's no need of thinking how one should keep the body and soul together. Krishna will see to that. One should always think himself helpless and consider Krishna the only basis for his progress in life. As soon as one seriously engages himself in devotional service to the Lord in full Krishna consciousness, at once he becomes freed from all contamination of material. So of material nature. There are different processes of religion and purificatory processes by cultivation of knowledge, meditation, mystic yoga system, etc. But one who surrenders unto Krishna does not have to execute so many methods. That simple surrender unto Krishna will save him from unnecessarily wasting time.
Maharaj, we have heard that Krishna is all pure, everything is pure, and we are part and parcel of Krishna.
Krishna is all pure and we are part and parcel of Krishna.
Yeah. Still we see the badness everywhere.
We're pure, but we're covered by the material nature.
No, but that is also nature of Krishna. I just want to ask that. How that
it's also pure, just like the prison is pure, but it's not much appreciated.
And
or looking at it from another way, Krishna is pure. Even if he comes in touch with material nature, he'll not be affected. He'll not be affected. But we're pure, but we're small. And therefore we can be affected.
But my question is that his material nature is in itself, it is pure?
It's pure. But it's incompatible with our position. Just like pure dirt. You can get dirt which is like, what is the word? Anyway, very pure. Nothing, nothing added, no chemicals, no nothing. It's pure dirt. But if you then rub it on your face and say, now I'm clean.
We see that it is said in Shastras also that this place is not suitable for the beauty of...
That's the point. It's unsuitable. Material nature is good. Or just like Prabhupada said, man is good and woman is good, but man and woman together are not good. So the living entity is good, material nature is good, but the combination of the two is not very good.
Sometimes we see the things that are not going good and something in the world going very bad, worst. So we see, is there any dark side of Krishna, so all these things are happening?
No. It's just like the prison. You see how bad it is, but it's bad by design. That you have bad food and uncomfortable iron bed and not a very nice view. All of that, locks on the doors that you can't open by yourself. This is all very bad, but from the point of view of the prison authorities, it's very good. It's necessary.
So, you should think that to have desire to be separate from Krishna, it's a sin or something like that.
Mm-hmm. To be separate from Krishna?
Yeah. It's like stealing or committing any crime like that, so we are suffering this durga.
Yeah. It's criminal.
Yeah.
We're not separate from Krishna, but we're claiming to be separate.
Krishna says that I give you free will. And if one is desiring to be separate from him, so why it is considered as a crime?
Free will doesn't mean you can choose the right thing or the wrong thing. It doesn't mean now I give you a choice and then so whichever choice you take is good. It's like you, the son grows up, you can say, oh, do as you like. Because that's what he's going to do. But if then he says, well, my father said, do as I like, so anything I do is good. Not like that. He directs us what to do, but if we want to misuse our free will and do something else, it's up to us. free will is given, but it doesn't mean every choice is equally good. Is it okay?
Actually,
he
is discussing the genuine
question. A little louder, please.
As he was asking you the question, one question also came to my mind. It is that you said that, you know, if you stay, if you go away from Krishna, then it is kind of sin, or it is not good if you stay away from Krishna. But does not mean that Krishna is always stamping that you have to stay with me only. You know, he can, obviously, you know, he has given us material world to stay. Or maybe we have created, you know, we have asked for it, the material world to stay. Can't we be happy, you know, just by staying on our own rather than going to Krishna?
No.
And one more question is arise here that
before we come to the one more question. It's not that because Krishna has created the world of illusion, therefore illusion is also very good. We want illusion, so we get illusion. But it doesn't mean that now illusion is very good. If it's so good, why are we suffering? But this is what we want. We want the illusion to be good. There's an expression, crime doesn't pay. But can't we have it pay? In a perfect world, you could rob the bank and not get caught. Can't we have it like that? That's the thief's mentality. Why should there be police? You should just be able to rob the bank and not suffer. So we want to be independent, to claim it for our own, the property of Krishna, and at the same time have Krishna bless our endeavors. We want to do nonsense, and we'd like from Krishna a stamp of approval. Yes, his nonsense is very good. Krishna says, sarva dharman pratyaja. But we'd like Krishna to say, but if you don't want to surrender, that's okay too. Equally good. Because it's your choice, and whichever you choose, that's perfectly good. No. You're free to choose. What is that? Yateshchasita Thakur. At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, do as you like. But he's already told him, if you don't fight, then you're going to be degraded, you're going to be a nonsense rascal, you're going to be sorry. But if he says at the end, well, Krishna said, do as you like. So why? What's the problem? I'm doing what I like. But that do as you like doesn't mean that that's a recommended option. I've given the instruction, now do as you like. Yes. Kodashyeva chanamtava. I'll do what you say. Very good.
Since many years, there has been one question was in my mind. We hear that the liberated devotees basically class into two types, Nitya Siddha and Sadhana Siddha Bhaktas. But from the point of eternity, even Sadhana Siddha is also a Nitya Siddha only.
Therefore, it's not distinguished. There's Sadhana Siddha, there's Nitya Siddha, but finally Siddha is Siddha.
In connection with one more question, Krishna says that once a devotee comes to me back, he never comes back to this material world again. But again, if the desire again arises for that devotee to again come back.
Krishna says you won't come back. So if you like, you can stay here and worry about it. Otherwise, you can go back.
So, the people are in this material world, and they have all desired for the first time and they are here. So, once they have desired for the first time and they are here.
You can't even figure it out. Anadi calls, say, Prabhupada says, we've been in this material world since time immemorial, and no one can figure it out. So, what was the point that the child should come now? Is everything changed now? He's going to be quiet, and because the world has become a different kind of world, he's going to sit here and be uncomfortable and won't talk.
Maharaj, is it incorrect to correct devotees? Especially when you know they are taking time, their seniors and the ones who do service for granted. Is it incorrect to point to devotees when they specially take time for granted? It is something that I've noticed over the years as I've been in India and connected with ISKCON. Isn't it shameful that ISD, which is
ISD.
Yeah, it stands for Indian Standard Time.
Yeah, ISD.
And now it's become a joke and it's become ISKCON Standard Time.
Yeah.
Why is it that none of our teachings in about time and discipline is not taught to us seriously? At least from whatever lectures I've attended, none of this has ever been taught. It's all about other kind of stuff. Is this not important? Is it not?
Wait. It's kind of a long question. It means you're asking a whole batch of questions and sticking them together as if they were one.
But my essential question is, why isn't time and discipline being inculcated in a way where people don't take time for granted?
Why has time not been, basically, why have people not been taught time management?
Because what I've noticed is whenever there is any kind of function, sometimes the speaker comes before the people.
Speaker comes?
Like, the speaker would reach and sit at his asana even before the devotees would line up. And sometimes the speaker has to wait an hour, and whoever has organized the program has put in a lot of effort to call devotees, but they are taking the speaker and that person's effort for granted.
I guess it's done like that so that you'll have an opportunity to do some service by introducing these principles of time management. If everything were more together, what would you do? It's practical that one can look in the society and say, well, where's their room for improvement? Why are they doing the accounts like this? Kapcha, accounting, let's make it better. Or why are they doing the publicity this way? They could do it better. Or why are they doing whatever it is? The purchasing this way, or the whatever the matter is. So if you see that there's room for improvement, then that's your opportunity. You can step forward. But let's improve this, let's improve that.
Recently, I was having, and
there's lots of room for improvement. And if things get too good here, then you can come to some of the other countries.
Maharaj, recently I was having a conversation with one of my colleagues in office, and I was explaining to him about how ISKCON is doing a lot of welfare activities in terms of preaching about Bhagavad Gita to the people in general, distributing Bhagavad Gita. And because of certain article which was circulating on WhatsApp, he has a very wrong idea about ISKCON, about, you know, how the funds are getting transferred from India to the Western countries and all. So he had a wrong idea about
India to the Western countries?
Yeah, that's right. A lot of such articles are getting circulated in WhatsApp.
That's very interesting. The devotees in the Western countries would be very interested to know.
So, Maharaj, what he was asking is that why ISKCON is, selling Bhagavad Gita, and then all of those funds are getting transferred. Instead of that, why are we not having a kind of concept wherein the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, instead of through book distribution or through the small seminars wherein we are reaching the small crowd, why somebody from ISKCON or your a big GBC, like we have a central commission, why they are not taking active steps in terms of introducing Bhagavad Gita in the education system in India, wherein it is naturally taught to everyone, instead of your preachers going out? And if you are really concerned so much,
he's standing by the sidelines talking about how it should be done.
Exactly,
Prabhupada has taken teachings of Bhagavad Gita and spread them all over the world. If you take the number of copies of Bhagavad Gita, all the other editions, and put them all together, they don't come to a fraction of, or they do, they come to only a fraction of what of the Prabhupada's books distributed. And that too in French and German, Italian, Russian, Chinese, so many different languages.
They're taking it in a different way. They're saying that it is all business.
Okay, it's all business. What's your problem? It's successful. Our business is to distribute books, and the business has become a great success, so that all over the world people are getting these books. What's the problem? And the fact is that India is enjoying the profit, because half of what we get from distributing books we're investing in projects here.
Exactly, that's what I explained.
But even if we weren't, suppose we invest in other places and build temples in Moscow and New York and Buenos Aires and so many places, what's your problem? Krishna shouldn't have temples in a temple in Moscow, he shouldn't have a temple in London, he shouldn't have a temple in New York. You envious rascal.
Exactly, Maharaj. Even I was thinking the same. ISKCON has reached to all the corners of the globe.
Even if you take it as business, it's a successful business. And Krishna is the proprietor and enjoyer of the business. So what is the problem? Just because you're a failure in business doesn't mean we have to. They'll stand by the side. They can't do anything, but they'll criticize whoever does it. You should have done it this way. You should have done it this way. What is he doing?
Exactly. I had a very.
How many copies of Bhagavad Gita has he distributed?
Exactly. This is the question I asked him. That what have you done? You being an Indian, what have you done to spread the glories of Bhagavad Gita?
And what was his answer?
No, he was like nothing. He was like.
Then. And your only business is when someone does it, you can criticize. You can't do it, but if someone else does it, you'll say you did it the wrong way. It makes no sense. Even somebody says, like, to whoever the Wipro guy is, why did you do your business this way? You should have done it that way. What business have you started? Nothing. So Wipro has become a big, successful company, and we have to listen to someone who never started a business, and he's going to tell us how Wipro should be run? You haven't done anything. And your only business is to get on the internet and talk about how it should be done.
He was basically critical because of that. Article.
Yes.
What does the article say?
That particular news, it was around the India. It was going through the MMSN videos, where this particular guy, he actually doesn't know ISKCON, what exactly it is, and he was trying to tell people that yes, convince people that ISKCON is an organization made by the foreigners, and they are, you know, accumulating money and they are taking it to the, you know, US and other.
This means he's a fool.
Yes.
Just tell him, show us your evidence. Any ass can say anything on the internet. There are times you were telling me there was a cartoon on the internet, and there's a dog watching the screen and typing, and he says, on the internet, no one knows that you're a dog. So he's a fool. Any fool can say anything. What is it? There's nothing that a hog won't eat and nothing that a fool won't say. So then an intelligent person will say, okay, let's see your evidence. Suppose if I say that you're embezzling money. Maybe it's true. But let's see the sheets. Let's see the accounts. Not that I just say, oh, you're embezzling money. And everybody says, oh yeah, he's embezzling money. Put the evidence on the table. Otherwise, you should be sued for defamation of character. The man is, you could criticize this kind for this, you could criticize this kind for that, but only a fool would criticize this kind for taking money out of India. We've brought so much foreign exchange to India, it's ridiculous. Our temple presidents are complaining in the West, why do we have to keep giving so much money to India? But even if we took money from India to distribute Bhagavad Gita all over the world, it wouldn't be wrong. Even if we took money from India to build temples of Krishna all over the world, it wouldn't be wrong. If the foreigners, the cursed foreigners, were to take money from India and build temples to Krishna all over the world, the only thing wrong with it would be that they would be doing what you should be doing. You're a rascal. You're complaining that the foreigners are taking money from India and spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. You should be doing it. You're getting money in India and spending it for your own sense gratification, damn rascal. Why don't you take some money from India? Make some money in India and you spend it elsewhere in the world. Why should foreigners take money out of India and spread it, use it for spreading Krishna consciousness? You should do it. We don't need your Indian money. We're getting our own money elsewhere in the world. Thank you very much. Because we're a business and we're a good business. But you're not doing anything. Even if we were taking money from India, what better purpose than to take money from India to glorify Krishna all over the world? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Bharata Bhumi De Manusha Janma Vaido Jar Janma Sarta Kari Paropakar. Do some welfare work. Your business is just to go begging, give us money, buy our goods, invest in our call centers. Invest 49% in Indian businesses. That's your foolishness. India should take money from and spend it all over the world for spreading Krishna consciousness. Yagyartha karmanon yatra loko yam karmabandhana. Krishna says, if you use your money for glorifying me, then you're freed from all karmic reaction. Otherwise, you'll be entangled. It's India's duty to spread this spiritual knowledge all over the world. From another point of view, Prabhupada used Indian money and printed a few cases worth of books. And he exported the value in the form of books. But it's become millions and millions. It's become crores and crores. What's the harm? And those crores and crores are foreign money. He brought a few books to India, from India to the West. And now they've become millions and millions of books, all glorifying Krishna. Now, what is your problem? Except that you're a rascal and a fool. Okay, you have some capital here in India. You're an individual Bharatiya citizen. What are you spending for? The benefit of the Indian public? You've gotten some money. Is that what you're doing with all of your hard-earned money? Spending it for the welfare of upliftment of your fellow citizens? Is that what you're doing, Mr. Author? Prabhupada gave up everything for the welfare of others. What are you doing? You're getting money and spending for sanskrit affairs. And then criticizing those who are dedicating themselves for spreading the glories of Krishna all over the world. And that too with your own ignorant ideas, which don't even correspond to material reality. Forget the ideology, the concept. You don't even have your facts straight. That's only one slice. Please share your experience in serving BTG. That's kind of a long topic, right? Experience in serving BTG. After many years of working in the West, I began serving in India with BTG. We have our Yudhisthira Prabhu. Some of you know him. He stays in Janki Kutir. So I was working with him at this peak. Actually, it was already going on in India, but it was very poor quality. The paper was 10th rate, the layout was 15th rate, the content was not very good. And it was being irregularly published at this irregular intervals. So we thought we should do something. And so I asked Raghunathanaj, do you have some money? So then he said, yes, I have the right person. And Yudhisthira Prabhu was there, very capable person, smart in business, very devoted, dedicated. So gradually this Indian BTG has come up. Quality has become very nice, and it's coming out in English, Hindi, Marathi, Gujarati, many languages, and being appreciated. Very happy about that. And it's good business. I have one friend who lives here in Bombay who became a self-made millionaire in Marwari friend. As a college student, he started a magazine distribution business, and it became a multi-million dollar business. he would sometimes advise me about our publishing, very helpful for us. And when I told him that we started something here in India, he said, "Who's your publisher?" I said, "My devotee, Ujjwal Jaju." He said, "That's what you need, a good Marwari." But one has to be a good devotee at the same time. It will be successful.
Maharaj, I think it's time of, but last I would like to ask you that we don't get one more chance to meet you like this. But I would like to ask you that how you came in contact with Prabhupada.
I joined this company. That's how I came in touch with Prabhupada. So.
Because I think a person like you can't get convinced like this.
He thinks a person like you can't get convinced like that.
Well, I've written a book that talks about this subject. It's not generally available in India. That is to say, we haven't published an Indian edition. So it's available on Amazon.co.in, but it's imported, so it's expensive. But we'll have to publish an Indian edition. These things are explained. I guess I should speak to you this year. Let's see. We have all these other questions and we're running to online very late. Initially, when we come new, we have lots of taste and enthusiasm, but as years pass by, taste reduces, almost diminishes. We also get attracted to Maya. What is the solution? Get serious. It's not that, just, of course, in the beginning we get all, what's the word, enthusiastic. It's something like marriage, you know. In marriage, you get all the enthusiasm in the beginning. But then if you want to stick with it, then you have to be very serious, dedicated. It may not be all thrills, but it becomes steady and you get the benefits. Such as they are. One has to seriously want to apply oneself, not that now I have so many years, so I have to be serious about this, and I have to be serious about that. I think the Goswamis, even in their old age, they are so seriously following the regular principles. They didn't say, "Now we're old." In spite of spending many years in Krishna consciousness, our past conditionings don't seem to go well. We talked about that. If we slack up on the process, then. Or from another point of view, we have to be patient. It's a big project. We've been conditioned since time immemorial. Now we're wondering how come it hasn't all disappeared in 15 years. It will. Is it possible to develop love for Krishna even though we have not seen him or interacted with him? Rajbasis had the chance to see and associate with Krishna, so they had such unconditional love for the Lord. But how can we develop? Rukmini never saw Krishna. Before their marriage, she'd never seen him. She only heard about him from sadhus like Narada Muni. They used to come to her father's palace and talk about Krishna. And just by hearing about Krishna, I have to have Krishna as my husband. Not by seeing in association. She was already in love with Krishna. How? By hearing. So we hear from Narada Muni, great sages in Narada Muni's life. Everything that we want from Krishna is definitely required, but first we have to associate. Otherwise, nam nam kuri bhagavad. If we chant Hare Krishna, then the Krishna sound is as good as Krishna. why seeing, hearing is more important. My sister chants 16 rounds but doesn't agree to come to the temple to associate with devotees. So what should I do to increase her devotion? Encourage her to chant 16 rounds. We should be happy she's chanting 16 rounds. She can read the books or whatever. There's so many different ways. So she's not, of course, we encourage her to come to the temple. If she's got something against this temple or temples in general or some reason or another, she's not come. So I encourage her what she likes to do. She likes to chant. She likes to read. Maybe wants to worship the deity, she can worship at home. And eventually, we expect she'll want to associate with other devotees.
Small question.
Small.
Recently, in temple, a devotee made a comment that we Rupa's always used to chant like, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The devotees make a comment that some of the devotees, they chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Now that devotee make a comment that it is not right because Prabhupada never did that. Now, and
what part wasn't right?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Ascent.
Ascent, ascent. Now the thing was, I was not convinced because being in Oriya from Orissa, we also...
Forget it. You're not going to say Hare Krishna, you're going to say Hare Krishna. Because you're Oriya, so the vocalic R is pronounced by the Oriyas as Ru. Krishna.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
And they call Ram, Ramo.
Ramo. Yeah, Bengali is the Oriyas. This is not very, and the Japanese, the Chinese, Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And the Latin Americans, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So, we're not going to complain about this accent or that accent. Bhava Grahi Janardana. Bhava Grahi Janardana. Krishna's fireworks? What?
Marriage,
of course. It's all fireworks. Krishna takes the feeling. Our Western devotees probably heard that some of them were chanting Sri Guru Charanapadma. Prabhupada said, Guru means cow. He said, I'm not a cow. But still, I understand that they're chanting for me. And I accept. Like the child, he may not express himself in the most of pronunciation, but the mother understands. So, this is not the standard that our pronunciation has to be the best North Indian Brahminical or whatever. The feeling should be there. And don't give a hard time for the obvious. Practically, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement started with the Gaudiyas and the Oriyas. Bengal, for instance.